Amen. Thank you for the music. Take your Bibles and join me in the book of Acts. We're concluding our study today of the book of Acts with the 28th chapter. As you turn there, I'm going to begin a new series of sermons next Sunday, and I'm going to entitle them, Why? Why? I want to just go through some of the basics of the Christian faith. I want to talk to you about why I am a Christian, why I believe in God, why I trust God's word, why I go to church, why I tithe and give offerings in addition, why I believe service is critically important, why we're supposed to be light and salt in the world. And if you have particular topics or questions about why in your lives that you'd like for us to address, please just give me a call or send me a text or an email or put those on the back of an offering envelope and give those to me on the way by. I'll be glad to try to take those into prayer for consideration. But I just believe we have lots of questions in our culture today about the things that we do within the church community. And I want to make sure that you can defend all the things that we practice and believe. And so we'll begin that series of sermons. I don't have any idea how long that will last. I suspect 6 or 8 weeks. We'll see how the Lord leads. But in the meantime, we're going to conclude our study of the book of Acts, 28th chapter. And the title of the message is Mission Accomplished. Mission accomplished. It's been almost 3 years since Paul's arrest in the temple in Jerusalem. And during that time, he has been faithful to God's call for his life. His mission was to go and tell the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's done so every step of the way throughout these past 3 years. Now, God foretold his suffering. Go back to his conversion experience in Acts chapter 9, verse 16 says, "For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my sake." Now, God is not there offering retribution for Saul's sin, though it was despicable. I mean, for somebody to persecute others just because of their faith in Jesus Christ, even to the point of death, is something that we can't fully even comprehend. But that was not retribution. Paul's sin is paid for by the redemptive work at Calvary, as surely as your sin and mine was paid for there. No, this was preparation. God intended to glorify himself in Paul's life. And can we just go ahead and agree with each other that it's rare that God is glorified when we're living on Easy Street? Most times we reflect the greatest difference Jesus has made in our lives when we are struggling and suffering in our lives. I hate to admit that to you. I try to deny it myself, but that's just a simple matter. When we don't handle prosperity well, when things are going our way, we quickly slip away from God. We quickly find ourselves spending less time in our devotions, less time in prayer, less time in church attendance, less time in ministry. And so God loves us too much to let us wander. And so he brings trials and tribulations. He brings hardships into our lives to remind us of our dependence upon him so that he can be blessed and glorified in our lives. Well, today we'll see the culmination of Paul's ministry venture in his mission accomplished. And I would tell you that our mission will be accomplished as well. And we have a mission. Every born-again believer in Jesus Christ has been called of God to some mission. We're on mission from God, and we'll accomplish that mission successfully if we'll walk by faith and follow Jesus. The 28th chapter of the book of Acts, that's New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. I'm going to begin reading. I says on the screen verse 11, and I changed my mind this morning. I'm going to begin reading at verse 16. So I'd ask you to stand, if you're able to do so, to honor the public reading of God's precious word. Acts chapter 28, verse 16. If you're there, say amen. 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 That's pretty good. Now, when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything to which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Then he said to him, we neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect of Christianity, we know that it's spoken against everywhere. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which were concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence for one no one forbidding him. Please be seated as you do, join me in prayer. Father, thank you for the completed mission of the Apostle Paul. Thank you for his faithfulness throughout this very difficult journey. And thank you for the way that you've used him in the lives of countless millions of people, including our own lives in this present day. And Lord, we know that that's only possible because of your miracle-working power living in his life. And yet remind us, Father, that same power lives within every born-again believer. Father, I pray that you'd preach to me now and set me free of every distraction, every hindrance, every obstacle. I present to your truth. Silence me, O God, that you might be heard, and hide me, O Father, that you might be seen. And I do pray the forces of darkness that would oppose or disrupt or distract us at every turn might be bound from this place, that we might have perfect liberty to receive your perfect word and let it work its perfect work in our lives such that we might become more like Jesus. We plead the precious blood of Jesus Christ over our lives, over this service, over this facility, and over these, your people, and pray that your perfect will might be accomplished. And for all that you do, we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 things stand out to me about that passage of Scripture. And the first is an intended destination. An intended destination. Paul finally arrives in Rome, his intended destination. And that should be no surprise, for an angel explained to him while they were having the shipwreck that that would be the case. In Acts 27, verse 23, we saw last time, there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. His mission in Rome was an integral part of God's plan for his life. And that being the case, no storm could stop him. No Roman governor could stop him. No overly zealous Jew could stop him. Nothing could limit God's plan in his life. But you understand the same thing applies to you and me? If you are saved, you were saved to serve God. God has a mission for you to accomplish and for me. And as we walk by faith and follow Jesus, nothing can limit God's plan. We are entirely invincible by faith in Jesus Christ. That's a good place to shout. That's a good place to say amen. That's a good place to be encouraged by the truth of Almighty God. God has a plan for each of our lives. You say, preacher, I don't know what it is. Well, I'll be honest and say, I'm not sure I know what your plan is either. And I don't know what my plan is for tomorrow, But I know what it is for today. You see, God reveals His plan one day at a time, sufficient for us to be able to walk in it. We long to want to know what the future holds. That's not God's plan and purpose for us. God knows the future, and He alone is orchestrating that future in the lives of His people, so we can just trust Him. But His word is sufficient to reveal His plan for us today, and His Spirit's power is enabling us to do that plan today as we walk by faith. Yes, Satan will try tirelessly to hinder that plan, but he will not be successful if we keep our eyes on Jesus. I love Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? It is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Nothing can keep us from God's intended plan and purpose. Well, preacher, I don't feel like a conqueror today. Would you hear me when I say there are a great many days I don't feel like a conqueror either? But can we just be honest while we're in church for a few minutes and say our feelings will lie to us? Our feelings are easily manipulated. You know, you can walk into work and people say, you know, are you all right? And you say, yeah, I think so. What? Well, you just don't look all right. And you know, Jack, you can go in the office and close the door and make a think about things. And well, do I look that bad? You look in the mirror, well, you don't see that much. And before you know it, you got a bad headache. You think, I really don't feel very well. I wonder if I got a fever. I better get to the doctor. I better take some aspirin. Something's wrong with me. You see, we let our feelings be manipulated so very easily. Try the other inverse when somebody says, no, I'm on top of the world. I don't know how I look. I can't change how I look, but I'm telling you, I've got victory in Jesus Christ. And you'll probably lift their spirits as well. But we give in to the temptation of our feelings. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. The devil manipulates our feelings often. Don't you trust your feelings. Trust your faith in Jesus Christ and His precious word. Paul did. And he arrived at the intended destination at the appointed time and accomplished the mission that God had for him. So we see an intended destination. Notice also in this passage of Scripture an interesting proclamation. Interesting proclamation. Having arrived, Paul called the Jewish leaders together. And his purpose was twofold. First and foremost, he had some good news for them. He wanted to face the music. He comes to tell them that I'm here and I've been wrongfully charged, but I want to hear from you all and I want justice to be served. And so he meets with the Jewish leaders, but more than Jews were present. Acts 20, verse 16. When we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners and the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Paul, from this point forward, was never alone. Think about that. Some of you all are alone more than you want to be. Paul never got to be alone. He was chained to the guard. Now, the guards changed in and out, but he was chained to them constantly. Verse 20, this reason I've been called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Can we just be honest and say, I don't think I'd respond well to chains. I don't think I'd look good in chains. I don't think I'd feel good in chains. I mean, dragging a chain around. I mean, just think, you like to be quiet sometimes. You like to be by yourself sometimes. You like a little privacy sometimes. And oh, by the way, you got a guard chained to you all the time. I'd probably be bitter. I'm certain I'd blame Rome at that point, Greg, but I probably would eventually blame God. We might expect a bitter outburst here from Paul. After all, he's an innocent man. He's wrongly detained. He's been lied to. He's been lied about. He has been neglected and abandoned in most every way you can imagine. But Paul wasn't bitter. No, he trusted that God's plan for his life was perfect. And every step of the way, there was work for him to do for the kingdom. And so he trusted God's perfect plan and hoped others would do likewise. And trusting God's perfect plan, he knew that plan was to share the gospel. Can you just imagine how many hours, Mickey, he might have talked to those guards? I suspect he just constantly talked to them about Jesus and what Jesus has done in his life. And I suspect seeds were planted that produced a bountiful harvest even in some of those guards. But he explained the reason for his arrest, and that is that he was proclaiming Jesus as the hope of Israel. The hope of Israel. The Jews have anticipated a Messiah coming for a few thousand years by the time that Paul burst on the scene. Well, Paul recognizes that Jesus has fulfilled every prophecy pertaining to Messiah. And so when Jesus appeared to him personally on the road to Damascus, he knew that Jesus is, in fact, the Savior of the world. So he explained the reason for his hope. He was surprised, as am I, that he was not expected there in Rome. Verse 21, we neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came spoken any evil of you. I can't explain why that's the case. We would have assumed that letters would have been sent from the governor as well as from the high priest so that they would know exactly what's going on when Paul got to stand before his judge. It could be they did send letters and those letters were lost. You know, the mail service was not very reliable in those days. It could be they didn't send letters because they knew they really didn't have a leg to stand on. Paul really had not done anything worthy or deserving of death or even imprisonment. So they were just relieved that he was out of Jerusalem and they didn't even intend to pursue it any further. I don't know what the case is, but whatever the situation was, these Jews in Rome are interested in his story. After all, he probably by now is something of a celebrity. Realize that the book of Romans was written several years previous to this, and probably by now within Rome had been widely distributed. So people would have heard of Paul. They knew about his conversion experience, as they said. And so there would have been a whole lot of people that would like to have heard from him and known his story. So Paul made the most of that opportunity in verse 23. When they had appointed him a day, many came to his lodging to whom he explained and solemnly testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets. Understand, they didn't have the New Testament. They're writing, they're living out the New Testament. So he's explaining the gospel from the Old Testament, and he did so from morning till evening. You know, people used to accuse me all the time of being a long-winded preacher. I don't preach very long anymore. I preach pretty fast, but not very long anymore. Can you imagine if I came and I said, okay, we're just going to stay here till you don't have to go home. We're going to just have church all till leave at 7 o'clock tonight. I'll just preach all day. Most of you all would say, knock yourself out. I'm leaving. I'm going to have some lunch. I've got a nap that's waiting on me. You can preach all day if you want to. I'm not interested. Give me my small dose. That'll be enough for me. I mean, after all, most Christians today can get by with 20 or 30 minutes worth of God for the whole week. I need a lot more than that. I'm not throwing stones. I can't speak for you. But the reality is Paul spoke all day, answering their questions and revealing the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But notice in his story there was no effort on his part to prove his innocence. He wasn't interested in self-glorification or self-gratification. There's no attempt to retaliate either against the Jews or the Romans. He knows this isn't about the Jews or the Romans. It's not even about Paul. This is about Jesus. So he simply proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord of all. What a powerful example that is. Because isn't it true that while we have the best of intentions to tell our story and share our faith, by the time we get into our regular day, there have been enough distractions that keep us from accomplishing that mission. We focus on the obstacles as opposed to the opportunities God gives to us in every single circumstance in life, especially when we've been wronged. And everybody here has at some level been done wrong in your life. Maybe you've been abandoned. Maybe you've been lied to. Maybe you've been lied about. Maybe you've been ostracized. Maybe you've been cut off from other friends. Maybe you've been made fun of. Maybe you've been ridiculed or embarrassed. The natural response is, I deserve better than that. And so we set out to try to prove our worth, to prove our innocence, to substantiate that we've been done wrong. That proves that we're not trusting in God fully. Oh, preacher, now I'm trusting in God. Really? Romans 12, 19 says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. That just really irritates me. He could have left that out and the rest of the book would have been just fine. I like to avenge myself. I like to avenge my loved ones. I mean, it feels good for a few moments until the Holy Spirit of God begins to convict you and you lose your joy and you lose your peace because you're in rebellion against God. He says, beloved, speaking to the church, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. You see, we avenge ourselves because we're mad. Get angry. And we give into that anger and try to avenge ourselves. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. You ever thought about that? The people you want to get back at? Just imagine what God's going to do to them to get back at them. Because I'm telling you, God loves you to pieces. You are precious in the sight of our great God. And nothing you can do in this life causes God to love you any less. So if you feel strong about being done wrong, He feels even more strongly. You know, I don't like to be done wrong, but I'd rather me be done wrong than my wife and children be done wrong. And my grandchildren, for heaven's sakes, if you do them wrong, you're taking your own life into your hands. I cherish them, right? And I certainly want to avenge them. Well, hey, that's how God feels about us, His children. Now, He doesn't have grandchildren. We're all His children. But God will avenge the wrong done to His people. Our job is to trust Him in that regard so that we are not distracted from His intended purpose, which is for us to be Jesus in this lost and dying world. And as we do, He'll take care of the rest. So certainly in Paul's message there was good news, but there also was some bad news. It said in verse 24, some were persuaded by the things which were spoken and some disbelieved. Some rejected. Some said, this is craziness. I'm not going to buy it. Yeah, that's always going to be the case. I suspect in the majority of cases, when you share your faith, most people aren't going to accept it. And that's so disheartening to us. You say, what's the point of trying? But the reality is, we're not called to save people. And we've not failed when they don't get saved. We've been completely successful because our mission is what? Obedience to God's plan and purpose. You see, it's not my problem that people don't get saved. It's God's problem and their problem. I'm just supposed to be a witness, a bright and shining beacon of hope, shining forth the love of Jesus Christ, being light, being salt, making a difference in this world, being willing to share my faith and tell my story. And it's up to God's Holy Spirit to draw others to Himself. And it's up to them then to surrender their life and will. But I would tell you, Paul had a word for those who rejected in verse 26. When they did not agree, they departed after Paul said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you'll hear and not understand, and seeing you'll see and not perceive. You see, the Jews closed their ears and eyes to the obvious in Jesus Christ. God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world, but He sent Him to the Jews. And God's intent was that the Jews would receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and then they would evangelize the world. But because He didn't live up to their expectations, they rejected Him. Seeing they wouldn't see, and hearing they wouldn't hear. And so God then closed their eyes and ears, and now is no longer pursuing them nationally. And that's bad news indeed. Because I'm telling you, if God isn't pursuing you, you aren't going to be saved. Jesus said, John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So if the Father isn't drawing, you can't be saved. Oh, preacher, I disagree, because I'm telling you, I decided when I was going to get saved, and I prayed and God saved me. Would you hear me when I say, as lovingly, as graciously, I know how to speak, you responded because God was drawing you. You recognized your need for a Savior because God was drawing you. God initiates salvation in 100% of the cases. There are no exceptions. No man yet seeketh after God, the Bible says. But we now, as the Gentiles, because the Jews rejected, have a glorious privilege because God now sent the gospel to the Gentiles. And you and I are Gentiles. And I'll tell you that we have the blessed hope now of life forever in Jesus Christ and forgiveness and pardon of sin because of Jesus. But because now the gospel has come to the Gentiles, it is our mission to evangelize the world. You say, well, preacher, I don't know how far from home I can go. Well, then spread the gospel at home. Spread the gospel at school. Spread the gospel at work. Spread the gospel in your neighborhood. Spread the gospel in your civic club. Spread the gospel wherever you might go. Spread the gospel on the golf course. Spread the gospel in the mall. Be Jesus to everybody you encounter. Right here in our neighborhood, there are untold tens of thousands of people that have never heard the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were talking about that this week, Brian and I. A young person that's been attending our church that has never been to church before, never been to Vacation Bible School, never been to Sunday school, didn't know the first thing about God, never heard a gospel presentation, didn't know anybody who could explain the gospel message in Evans, Georgia. And I'm telling you, there are untold thousands of people just like that, living on your street and on my street, living in our neighborhoods, working in our offices, working in our shops, playing golf with us, going to the mall with us. They're all around that have never heard the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, preacher, they celebrate Christmas. And you know, that's all Christianity means to a great many people in our world today. I'm a Christian because I celebrate Christmas and Easter. They couldn't explain why they celebrate Christmas and Easter. But they do. I got news for you, folks. We live in a godless world, and we need to be the Jesus Christ that they need to see and let them experience His love firsthand. And as we do, they aren't all going to receive, and that's okay. Some will. Some will. But our mission is to go and tell the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, Well, preacher, I just don't know that I've got time. Recognize that time is vitally important. We don't have to make time to do something extra. We need to be Jesus doing what we're doing with our time. But you know, the vast majority of people that I have ever shared my faith with that rejected it said, I'm going to get saved someday. I know I need God. And when I get older, or when I finish this, or when I did that, or whatever the case, fill in the blank, I'm going to get right with God. Would you hear me when I say God might not be drawing you tomorrow? That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. You cannot get saved tomorrow. Well, preacher, that's pretty authoritarian. You're not even promised to get to tomorrow. But you can be saved today. Oh, preacher, I'm saved and I know I'm saved. No reason for trying to scare me. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I just want you to face the facts that we need a Savior. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day you can, because the Spirit of God is drawing you to Himself, even right now as we have this worship time. And our responsibility is to respond in submission, recognizing our need that Jesus Christ is the hope of sinful man, that He became our sin, died in our place, that He conquered death and arose from the grave, and now He calls out, whosoever will, come unto me. But for those of us who are saved, He has a mission for us. And that mission can be completed day by day by day as we walk by faith and follow Jesus And that mission may be something you think is impossible. Remember, God's desire is to glorify himself. Doesn't happen on Easy Street. Doesn't happen when we do all the things that we can do in and of ourselves. God's glorified when he does the impossible in and through us. God's glorified when we face those difficult circumstances and retain the joy of the Lord. So is that our mindset? Can we, along with the Apostle Paul, say, I'm not worried about defending myself. I'm not worried about justifying my existence. I'm an ambassador of the Most High God, and I just want to be the light of his love to everybody I encounter. Because I guarantee you, if we're that kind of people, God's making a difference in Evans, Georgia, in Martinez, Georgia, in Augusta, Georgia, in the central Savannah River area. God using this group of people to glorify himself. As we simply live out our faith and be Jesus to all we encounter, I'm telling you, we are changing our world. So then what's our status? Do you know him today? If not, please don't leave this building until you do. There's no greater, more pressing decision in your life than to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But the vast majority of us are saved and heaven bound. And I wonder whether we're really doing what God's called us to do in our daily existence. We're on a mission. That mission can be completed and will if we'll follow Jesus. How we choose, let's pray. Father God, thank you for your precious word and for the beautiful example we see in the Apostle Paul of one who was obedient to your call. Lord, might that be our testimony as well? Might we no longer hold you accountable to our human reason and understanding, but rather submit fully to lordship and follow wherever you lead, knowing that we are invincible. We cannot be defeated as we walk by faith. Lord, forgive us where we allow the opportunities of life to be seen as obstacles and get discouraged and become disgruntled about them. Lord, help us each day, as the apostle did, to strive to be Christ in every situation so that you can be blessed and glorified in our lives. And for all that you do in this time of decision, we'll give you all praise and thanks, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Please stand to your feet. If God has spoken to your heart, you've got a decision to make. This altar's open. You can come and pray. You can pray just where you are. But Brian,